Good morning, Trinity. It's good to see you here this morning, and we are going to get started right away, but I'd like to have you take a second to fill out the cards in front of you. Pew cards are there for you to write down prayer requests, and for those of you who realize we are going to have a drawing one of these days, we want to make sure you fill those out. So make sure and fill out all the good stuff, phone numbers, emails, social security numbers, and the like. We also would like to have you take a second to please stand and greet one another with a handshake of warmth and welcome. In this morning, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Let us now confess our sins to God our Father. Most merciful God, we confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We justly deserve your present and eternal punishment. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your holy name. Amen. Almighty God, in his only given his mercy to us through his only begotten Son, and for you, he forgives you all your sins. As a called and ordained servant of the Word of Christ and by his authority, I therefore forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. In peace, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord. For this holy house and for all who offer here their worship and their praise, Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord.
Victory for our God. Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia. Worthy is Christ the Lamb who was slain, whose blood set us free to be people of God. This is the feast, victory for our God. Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia. Power, riches, wisdom, and strength, and honor, blessing, and victory for our God. Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia. Sing with all the people of God and join. Victory for our God. Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia. For the Lamb who was slain has begun his reign. Victory for our God. Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia.
The Lord be with you. Let us pray together. Most merciful Father, you gave your Son Jesus as the heavenly bread of life. Grant us faith to feast on him in your word and sacraments, that we may be nourished unto life everlasting. Through the same Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. You may be seated.
The Old Testament reading for today is from the book of Exodus, chapter 16. The whole congregation of the people of Israel grumbled against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. And the people of Israel said to them, "Would that we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt, when you sat by the meat pots and ate bread to the full, for you have brought us out into this wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger." Then the Lord said to Moses, "Behold, I am about to rain bread from heaven for you, and the people shall go out and gather a day's portion every day, and that I may test them, whether they will walk in my law or not. On the sixth day, when they prepare what is being, on the sixth day when they prepare what they bring in, it will be twice as much as they gather daily." So Moses and Aaron said to all the people of Israel, "At evening you shall know that it was the Lord who brought you out of the land of Egypt. And in the morning you shall see the glory of the Lord. because he has heard your grumbling against the Lord. For what are we that you grumble against us? And Moses said, when the Lord gives you in the evening meat to eat, and in the morning bread to the full, because the Lord has heard your grumbling, that you grumble against him, what are we? Your grumbling is not against us, but against the Lord. Then Moses said to Aaron, say to the whole congregation of the people of Israel, come near before the Lord, for he has heard your grumbling. And as soon as Aaron spoke to the whole congregation of the people of Israel, they looked toward the wilderness, and behold, the glory of the Lord appeared in the cloud. And the Lord said to Moses, I have heard them grumbling of the people of Israel. Say to them, at twilight you shall eat meat, and in the morning you shall be filled with bread. Then you shall know that I am the Lord your God. In the evening, quail came up and covered the camp. In the morning, dew lay around the camp, and when the dew had gone, there was on the face of the wilderness a fine, flake-like thing, fine as frost on the ground. And when the people of Israel saw it, they said to one another, what is it? For they did not know what it was. And Moses said to them, it is the bread that the Lord has given you to eat. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The epistle lesson for today is from Ephesians chapter 4. I, therefore, a prisoner for the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to the one hope that belongs to your call, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. But grace was given to each one of us according to the measure of Christ's gift. Therefore, it says, when he ascended on high, he led a host of captives, and he gave gifts to the men. In saying he ascended, what does it mean but that he had also descended into the lower parts of the earth? He who descended is the one who has also ascended far above all the heavens, that he might fill all things. And he gave to the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and the teachers, to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ until we all attain the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, so that we may no longer be children tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness and deceitful schemes. Rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. The gospel for this Sunday is recorded in the book of St. John, the 6th chapter. On the next day, the crowd that remained on the other side of the sea saw that there had been only one boat there, and that Jesus had not entered the boat with his disciples, but that his disciples had gone away alone. Other boats from Tiberias came near the place where they had eaten the bread after the Lord had given thanks. So when the crowd saw that Jesus was not there, nor his disciples, they gave themselves and got into the boats and went to the Capernaum seeking Jesus. When they found him on the other side of the sea, they said to him, Rabbi, when did you come here? Jesus answered them, truly, truly, I say to you, you are seeking me not because you saw signs, but because you ate your fill of the loaves. Do not labor for food that perishes, but for food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. For on him God the Father has set his seal. Then they said to him, "What must we do to be doing the works of God?" Jesus answered them, "This is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he has sent." So they said to him, "Then what sign do you do that we may see and believe you? What work do you perform?" "Our fathers ate the manna in the wilderness, as it's written. He gave them bread from heaven to eat." Jesus then said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, it was not Moses who gave you the bread from heaven, but my Father who gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." They said to him, "Sir, give us this bread always." And Jesus said to them, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger, and whoever believes in me shall never thirst." This is the gospel of the Lord. Please be seated. Grace, mercy, and peace be richly and abundantly poured out upon you this day. Our text is taken from the book of Ephesians, the fourth chapter. It's our epistle lesson, the second of the three. If you'd like to follow along in the Pew Bible in front of you, please open those to Ephesians chapter 4, beginning with verse 1. Now in our intro, our introduction, I want to remind you that last week we left off with Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20. And the words of Paul there were to the church of Ephesus, "Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly beyond all that we ask or think, according to the power that works within us, to him be glory." And Paul then says in chapter 4, "I therefore, a prisoner for the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called." What that is saying is, I therefore, because of all the things, God, you have done, Ephesians 3:20, beyond our ability to think or ask, beyond all of our human comprehension, to your glory, your power is at work within us. And Paul says, "I therefore, a prisoner for the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you've been called." Let's pray. Lord and Savior Jesus, thank you for calling us. Help us to walk with you in your way. Help us to serve you and to also be mindful of those whom we serve with. Today, O Lord, we ask your blessing, not only upon this message, but upon our hearers. May your word spread forth and bear fruit in their hearts and in their minds. In Jesus' name, amen. In the Gospel of St. John, John writes towards the end, "What we have seen with our very own eyes, touched with our own hands, and heard with our own ears, these things we report to you concerning Jesus, the Lord of life. What were those things? Namely, that Jesus died to pay for all of our sins, that he on the third day rose again from the dead, and that his victory over death and the grave becomes our victory, and that death shall not, no, it cannot defeat us. We possess the promise of life everlasting and of forgiveness. Our hope is certain in Christ. And because of this, like Paul, we have been captured by the good news of Christ. And we too are willing servants, pardoned even as prisoners of the gospel, actively seeking to serve our Lord and Savior. Paul commends us now also to walk in a manner worthy of our calling, one that is fitting for being chosen, of being a child of God, a king's kid, you might say. We live a life that is lived with a higher purpose, a life that is a deep sense of calling, of meaning and purpose, a life that is given over to the Lord's purpose and plan, to love as he's loved us, and to forgive as he's forgiven us. We are actually vessels and vehicles for carrying out this love, God's grace, and giving it away to others. You might sit up on the edge of your bed tomorrow morning when you awaken, and you might say, Lord, it's me, as you stand up. Lord, it is me reporting for duty. I'm ready to serve. Help me to walk in a manner worthy of your calling. Now, Paul says there's some specifics here. He said we walk in humility, in gentleness, in patience, bearing with one another, in love, eager to maintain unity. So, my friends, it's not about our role or our title. It's about our relationship, first with the Lord and then with one another. It humbles me to think that Jesus Christ would die on a cross on Calvary to pay for my sins. And I hope it does for you too. It humbles me to think that my Lord, had I been Jesus washed the disciples' feet, that he would have also washed mine. As leaders in our homes, in our church, at work, and in our community, we could all stand to take a good dose, a strong dose, in fact, of humility. Often we become puffed up with position, with titles and degrees and pride as we deal with one another. My friends, when we are in the midst of the confrontation, a confrontation, be it in our families, with a son or a daughter, with a husband or a wife, with a parent, or here at church, or in our community, we may need to be reminded of Paul's words, to live in humility. And when we're there, we need to remember that the one sitting across the table from us is our brother or sister in Christ. And we need to remember also that Jesus is sitting at the very head of the table and is in the presence of all of us, each of us. Humility and gentleness is what Paul prescribes. It's how we deal with one another in the bond of faith. Here we see Paul reminding us to be gentle with one another because each of us know whose, that is, the other are. We both have one Lord, one faith, and one baptism, one God and Father of us all, who is over all. They, like us, too, are children of God. And we need to treat each other with patience, enduring with one another in love, out of eagerness, Paul writes, to maintain the unity of the body. This does not mean that we should ignore problems or issues, simply sweeping them under the rug. No, Paul later in this text says, rather speak the truth in love. My friends, let me tell you that each of us can speak the truth in love and still be humble, speak in spirit of gentleness and patience, bearing with each other in love out of a sense and eagerness to maintain unity in the family, in our homes, at our workplace, or wherever we might find ourselves. And when we speak such words, we should never speak them out of anger or meanness or getting even, because one man, after all, said to me, "I don't get even, I get ahead." But hear me, O Christians. Christ's approach will set us apart from the world. We're different. We're better than that. It will indeed show the world how we can love someone so much and be willing to risk it all, placing our cards on the table, speaking the truth in love, whilst maintaining the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. Our desire, after all, is to win back our brother, to restore the relationship, not to ruin it. Our relationships are centered in Christ, operating out of love for the other person. And this will show the world, our families, our church, our communities, our workplace, and yes, even ourselves, the power of God that is at work in us, that is able to go beyond all that we ask or think or imagine. And it also gives us a deeper meaning to the phrase that we began with, "I insert your name. I, a prisoner of the Lord, walk in a manner worthy of my calling before the Lord." My friends, you're not only saved by the blood of Jesus Christ, you're also sent. And you're sent to serve him. There are no pew sitters here at this place in our work. We have a ministry that is so precious that we must each and every one do our part. Now, our text continues, and it says, when he, Jesus, ascended on high, he led a host of captives, and he gave gifts to men. God has gifted every one of us. In the book of Ephesians and elsewhere, we realize at least with one gift, if not several. And that is given to each of us, those gifts, for the building up of the body of Christ. We are less here at Trinity when any one of us do not use our own spiritual gifts. Our text continues, and he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, and the teachers to equip the saints for their work of ministry, for the building up of the body of Christ. My job description is, I'm here to equip you for your work of ministry at Trinity and for us to carry out this work together as one people. God has sent me for this purpose, and Desiree and I are glad to be here. But you are also here with a calling and a reason, a purpose. In Nashville, I coined the phrase when we were starting our mission there. It was that there would be a person in every pew and a place of purpose for every person. I've now been with you 10 months, and one of the things that I have realized that we have a whole new century awaiting us. Together, we can. No, we will impact Orlando with the gospel of Jesus Christ. People will be reached and saved. Children will be taught. Disciples will be made because of God the Holy Spirit's work in and through you. In our school, in our church, and through your involvement in the life of other people throughout this community, we are merely vessels carrying out the work of God in various places where we live and work and play. My role and my job is simply to equip you and release you for your service, and as a symphony, to direct the symphony of servants as you serve out using your God-given gifts, God's plan and purpose for you. A lot of you have been waiting for this day when we'd be talking some point, reminding me time and time again of the good old days when Don Abdon's form of governance was here at the church. We had boards stocked with large numbers of people and meetings that would take place throughout the week and the month. A lot of meetings, but the question always was asked, how much time was really spent doing the ministry? You know, though, we now have a different form of governance. It's called policy-based governance, which seems to involve fewer people and is more staff-led. And I'd ask you to consider that we now have a look at a different model We used to have 6 people in the pastoral staff. Now we have 2.5. And I'm not sure which of us is 0.5. Some days I think it's me. Perhaps some of you would vote for all the time. But God's model of governance is simple. It's really simple. He gave us pastors, shepherds, teachers, evangelists, prophets, to equip you to use your God-given gifts of time and talents for the work of ministry of building up the body of Christ. What that means, my friends, is that we work together. Your role is as important as mine. And my role is to work with you and you to work with me and for us all together, whether we're on the school staff or whether we're on the church staff or whether we're on no staff, but we're just one of the people of God. We're going to serve Jesus using our gifts. We need you. And we need one another. Trinity can simply not hire enough people to carry out this precious gospel message that we have here in downtown Orlando. And we cannot structure our ministry so that we spend all our time in meetings getting very little ministry done. Our job, our one job, is to go and to make disciples, and that this is the filter through which we must evaluate all that we do and direct all of our ministries and all of our actions. All things Trinity must ask this all-important question: how does this make disciples? I had a pastor friend of ours in Nashville. Desiree, you remember Don. And I remember Don asking me, and he said, could you and Desiree get together with me and my wife? And I said, well, yeah, that'd be wonderful. He said, well, what about Tuesday? I said, nope, sorry, I got a meeting. He said, okay, what about Thursday? I'm sorry, I've got a meeting. He said, next Monday? Oh, darn. Sorry, I've got a meeting. 3 weeks of this, having a meeting and not being able to get together, he finally looked at me and he said, you know, I don't know a lot about Lutherans, but he said, you Lutherans sure have a lot of meetings. When do you do the ministry? And that question stuck with me. And perhaps it should stick with you. Because the things that you do when you go to work and you help somebody really with a problem that's there on their table, and they come to you because they want to counsel with you, maybe even ask you to pray for them, the way you conduct yourself and carry yourself out at work makes such a difference. Because people are watching, people are looking, people are listening. And they're wondering what makes you approach life different than they. As they start to see the love of Christ pouring and oozing out of your life as you reach out to touch people and to help them, they wonder if they could have some of what you have. And so, my friends, it's all about us reaching out with the love of Christ and living in such a way that we want to connect with people, and by and large, they will end up wanting to connect with you. And my friends, that's the work that you and I have, to be compelled to love as Christ loved and forgive as Christ loved. We've covered a lot of ground today. We've had a huge impact in our lives if these things would be followed in our church, in our families, yes, in our community. We've talked basically about 3 things. Understanding whose we are. We've identified that you and I are prisoners captivated by the gospel, prisoners of the Lord. And secondly, that we are to walk in a manner worthy of the calling of the Lord in our lives. And we've listed about 6 things of gentleness, of patience, of endurance, of eagerness to continue the bond of unity, and others. And then we looked at the question, all-important question, of why are you and I here? It's really about making disciples, followers of Jesus Christ, who will, at the final breath of their life, be able to say, Jesus, I believe in you. who will be able to say with confidence and courage, as you and I can, that Jesus, you do love me and you are my Savior. And I'm willing to take your hand and walk through that valley of the shadow of death and fear no evil because I know you're with me, Lord. If our lives can make such a difference as that, we're glad and eager to serve our Lord and our Savior, Jesus. Even putting aside differences and working through problems, gently and humbly, in humility and patience, maintaining eagerly the bond of unity so that we can serve one another to reach more and more people for Jesus. In his holy name, amen. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, may it keep your hearts and your minds in the true faith in Christ Jesus. Amen. Please stand. Join me as we now confess our faith in the words of the Nicene Creed. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary and was made man and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures and ascended into heaven, and sits at the right hand of the Father, and he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshiped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, resurrection of the dead, life of the world to come. Amen. You may be seated.
and Holy Ghost. Amen.
The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks unto the Lord our God. It is truly good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who on this day overcame death and the grave, and by his glorious resurrection opened to us the way of everlasting life. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and singing. Lord and Savior Jesus, we give you thanks that indeed you've called us, and you've called us to be your children, and we see in your many ways in which you've worked in our life, personally and corporately as a church, how you've done far more exceedingly abundantly than we could ever ask or think or imagine. And for that, we give you thanks. We ask you, O Lord, to help us to walk in a manner worthy, with humility to conduct our relationships, in patience and gentleness, always eagerly enduring to win through and work through the bonds of unity. Help us, O Lord, also to see out your will to be done. As we serve you, may we use our gifts, each of them, every one of us, to your glory, for the building up of this body of believers here at Trinity Lutheran Church and School. May you bless our teachers as they teach, our principals as they do their principaling and our directing through the CDC and the K-8. May you bless the leaders of this congregation. May you bless the staff of one and all. And we ask your blessing upon the people of God here in this place. We eagerly look forward to this next school year. And we eagerly look forward to this second century of our ministry. And we ask your will to be done, utilizing the gifts you've given us, not only to build up this body, but to do with this body what you've called us to do, to go and to make disciples. Lord, in your mercy. O Lord, we ask and we pray that you would be with all those whom have been requesting prayers from the people of God this day.
Heavenly Father, we lift up the following names from the congregation are in need of prayer and also prayers of thanksgiving as well. We pray for Laura, who's in a need of healing after giving birth to a baby, and she is having complications. So we pray for her, for healing and recovery of her, and we pray for her baby that she might, that her mom may survive so that she might know her baby. We pray for Sherry, who is in need of healing from spreading infections, and also for recovery from 3 surgeries this week. We pray for Sue, who is in need of strength and comfort while waiting for surgery, and for tests from a diagnosis of melanoma. We pray for Kainoa, having problem with her daughter. We pray that you would give her guidance and strength and wisdom in how to deal with her daughter and her situation. We pray for Rich today as he recovers from intestinal complications. Give him an extra measure of health and recovery for him. And we pray our thanks for all who have been praying for Len and his continued healing. We pray for continued healing for Len, and we give thanks for those who have prayed for him. Lord, in your mercy.
And Lord, we also thank you for the strengthening of Pastor Glander. And we also thank you, Lord, that you have been with and visited upon those who are sick and perhaps near to your calling them home. Dr. Harry, Darty Yaman's father, as well as Lois Wilson, we pray, O Lord, that you would continue to strengthen them at these hours and allow them to see with eyes of faith. When you come, O Lord, that you come for them with good news, to receive them and to welcome them into that place you've prepared for them. And so with eyes of faith, we thank you for helping them as they cross that finish line. O Lord and Savior, in your mercy, hear our prayer. And now we pray that prayer which you taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had broken it, he gave it unto his disciples, and he said, "Take and eat, this is my body, given unto death for you." Likewise, in the same manner, he took the cup, and when he had supped and had given thanks, he gave it unto the disciples, saying, "Take and drink ye all of it. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is given and is shed for you for the remission of all of your sins. As often as you do this, do it in remembrance of me," he says. The peace of the Lord be with you. As often as we eat this bread and drink of this cup, we proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Thank you for serving, Natalie. May the Lord Jesus bless you. I know he loves you. Alleluia. Gracious God, our Heavenly Father, you have given us a foretaste of the feast to come in the Holy Supper of your Son's body and blood. Keep us firm in the true faith throughout our days of pilgrimage, that on the day of his coming we may, together with all your saints, celebrate the marriage feast of the Lamb and his kingdom, which has no end. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. And now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and bring you his peace. Amen. You may be seated.
Hello, people of Trinity.
Hello.
Some brief announcements for you. First of all, big thanks to everyone who came out to help in Trinity's campus work day yesterday. A lot of important work was accomplished and things look great for welcoming guests, parents, and students onto our Trinity campus, which is especially exciting with school coming up. And the next announcement is about that. Next weekend is our annual Blessing of the Backpacks and dedication of our Trinity faculty and staff, as well as all of our local teachers from congregations during services on Saturday night, August 11th, and also on the Sunday morning services on the 12th. If you have a student in your household or a friend or a neighbor who is headed back to school, have them join you for worship and bring their backpack. We'll have a special prayer for the students and bless those backpacks during the worship service. And there are invitation cards back in the narthex you can use to give to your friends and neighbors to invite them. Weekly Sunday school starts back up August 19th from 9:30 to 10:30. Students from 4 years old through fifth grade are invited to meet in the kindergarten room of Heritage Hall, which is the first classroom of the on the left of the two-story building over here on our main campus. Discipleship is our focus this year for the school year. Be sure to bring in your summer passports to earn prizes. Middle school and high school youth Bible study will also meet at 9:30 as part of Sunday school in the youth room in the church basement, so right downstairs for the middle school and high school youth. Confirmation instruction starts for 7th and 8th grade students. Will also begin on Sunday, September 9th. At 12:30 p.m. with a parent and student initial meeting and registration. More details will be coming soon, and you can check the youth ministry page on Trinity's website for upcoming class schedule, but have this be a placeholder. Save the date is September 9th for confirmation instruction. And the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod National Youth Gathering is coming up in July of 2019. The announcement to make today is that Jen Blackwood and Crystal Jones are the team to who will be spearheading the planning, fundraising, and team building for this exciting trip. They have firsthand experience at youth gatherings and can answer any questions that you may have. They will be hosting the first informational parent-student meeting, which will be held in the first Loggia classroom on Sunday, August 26th at 12:15 p.m. or right after the 11 o'clock service. And on a Sunday, August 26th, pizza lunch will be served during that meeting. So youth love pizza. Parents love pizza. That's cool.
I'm behind you.
Oh, and you have another.
And I love Tony.
Oh.
Don't we all love Tony? I would just like to say to Crystal, you're back there. Just would you raise your hand again so the folks know if you got, there you go. She's one of our teachers in our school, and a lot of you probably already know her. I wanted to make sure if you're going to be sending your child, she's got a trustworthy face, don't you think? But we just wanted to let you know that she's the lady you need to connect with, and then Jen Blackwood as well. So God's blessing. Thank you, Crystal, and thank each of you. Please join us for a final hymn. Thank you.
you guys. Next time they might even let you sit in the row with them. Peace and serve the Lord with joy.